Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Welcome back to the show. One down, one to go. Shane Dennis, Jacob Albrock sitting in for Bruce next couple of shows. Glad to have him on board. Talked a lot about Urban Meyer. We talked exclusively about Urban Meyer and what firestorms going on up in Columbus right now. Get to some headlines now. We didn't touch on in the first hour. The Royals beating the White Sox 10-5. They've taken the first two games of that series. 25 minutes from now or so. Really timely interview, as it turned out. Didn't schedule it that way, but kind of funny how those things worked out. Dr. Rob Ramsire is the new athletic director at Friends University. We'll talk to him next segment. He comes to Friends from Heston College in Kansas. So we'll talk to Dr. Ramsire about 20 minutes from now, 25 minutes from now or so. Kind of get his take on this stuff, too. You and I talked earlier in the first hour and mentioned him a couple of times, speaking of ADs, Gene Smith. What's going through his head right now?
Well, maybe a couple of things. One, if he knew about any of this, he's probably freaking out.
Yeah.
Two, he's probably freaking out anyway, because where does this, you know, land in his lap? And three, he is potentially going to have to replace one of the most successful coaches in the country, who you finally have this perfect scenario where he's returned to Ohio State and there are already rumors of replacement potentially for who he'd be, and I've heard Campbell over at Iowa State and all of these things. Like, how do you balance, I guess I don't know what his involvement will be, like how do you balance potentially having to replace Urban Meyer with having to figure out what in the world's going on, with having to figure out, well, am I responsible in any way in all this? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably not a fun time, I wouldn't think. Probably not a lot of sleep last night. And, the question's got to be asked, what if Urban Meyer did say something? Like, that's a relevant question. And yeah, what
I guess what would stop Gene Smith from burning him down on the way out if he thought at any time along the way, oop, I'm going to be involved too, so I better be careful what I say.
And there is still we still have to let this thing play out.
Yep.
Like, there, we need to know what happened. Is there anything else here? Like, what actually happened in these incidents in the first place, legally? What did the police find out? What investigations were done? Where did this all start, and why did it all happen? Like, this is the point where there has to be some time taken to get it right and understand where we're at on all of this. No matter what, there shouldn't have been any sort of cover-up to the incident itself. There was an arrest. That's not okay, and there are university policies, which you've read, that say that's enough in a situation for there to be punishment. So there's so much of this that has to play out, and a couple of callers ago, I think it was Greg, brought up a good point, mm-hmm. of why can't, you know, and he was in support of the media and everything else, and we appreciate that, but why can't we just know the facts and what could happen versus what should? Well, there is a difference. So what Brett McMurphy did yesterday is, in my opinion, that's journalism.
By the way, he broke that story on his Facebook page. He was let go by ESPN. Yeah, I just wanted to point that out. ESPN,
by the way, took forever to put that on their website.
They sure
I'm
did.
Sure that was a little that
they
was
sure
a
did.
Weird, weird situation. But that is in my world, that's journalism. That's nose to the ground, just reporting the facts. That's what we do. Like in local television every day. Like we're not what you get on cable news would be akin to what you'd get in a column or whatever, where you've got opinion spewers giving opinions on what should happen or thoughts on or takes on the news of the day. So there are both, and you've got to kind of look at it that way. McMurphy gave you the journalism there. Here is the investigation that I did that uncovered these things. These are what we uncovered. These are the facts as they've been presented by people who are close to the situation. That's what happened there. Now you will have reaction from guys like us on this show or columnist or whatever, or TV analyst. That's not journalism in that old Walter Cronkite sense. That's different. That's mm-hmm. We're giving opinions and we're having discussions about it. They both have their own place uniquely. They're not the same thing, certainly. We're not telling you the facts of... We're telling you what the facts were reported as, but I don't... Mm-hmm. I didn't do any of the reporting, so I'm not going to give you what happened here other than what we read and what we see, and then we react to. Those are two very different things. So don't think everything you read is... They're totally different things.
Good point.
So know that as you're consuming all this. Most of what you're going to read now is opinion today, and that's a separate thing than reporting the facts. And I guess maybe we take that for granted, Shane, that those are two different things, because it all does come to us in the same platforms and sometimes right next to each other. Look at the I think it's CBSSports.com right now, the homepage. You've got an opinion piece on Urban Meyer in one slot, and the very next slot is the factual piece mm-hmm. of here's what happened. I guess you just got to kind of keep an eye out on that stuff.
And I think you would agree, but correct me if I'm wrong, kudos to Brett McMurphy in a couple of different areas here. Should be pointed out that he eventually did talk to Scott Van Pelt last night on ESPN, yep. So they relented, I guess, if that's how you want to put it. But if you listened to sports talk radio at all, you heard Brett McMurphy all day, and you knew you would, because he's the guy that broke the story. He was on everybody's show. One thing that was consistent throughout the entirety of his car wash of shows was he made it clear to Zach Smith's wife, Courtney, that I don't want he said, she said. If you want to have a voice, I will give you one, and I'll give you the platform, but I want details, and I want you naming names. No yep. sources, no anonymous sources, no alleging. This was straight from Zach Smith's ex-wife's mouth. Mm-hmm. Further illustrating your point, Jacob, that this is journalism, and what Brett McMurphy did on his own Facebook page, because he is not anywhere... at any .com employed, which I don't quite understand. I could get layoffs, but this guy busted his butt, however long this took, and made it clear that, look, I don't want any allegations or rumors or anything. He laid it all out there, just according to him. Now, you know, and Courtney Smith obliged with texts, pictures, and all kind of other yeah. damning stuff that's put Urban Meyer on administrative leave. But to me, tip of the cap to Brett McMurphy for laying that all out there and not just in a rush to be first or to break something, which a lot of people are guilty of nowadays.
Well, and there's just, we see it the most right now in the political world of anonymous sources, people that, you know, couldn't speak because of, and we see it in sports all the time too, when you're talking about like contract details and those kinds of things. But this wasn't a story where that was going to be okay for those reasons. And that's the right way to do it, because there is going to be so much of that. And because there, you know, there aren't charges filed, and there are, you know, going to be prerogatives in things like that, and clear motives in some of these things. And yeah, it was like, show me. Mm-hmm. And that is old school. That's as old school as it gets, and that's what the story needed. And that's why you're seeing so many people so harsh today, I think, is because that work was done. That, you know, that we've got, look, McMurphy is reporting physical evidence of this stuff. So that's big time. That's big time. I mean, that's an unbelievable job, and kudos to Scott Van Pelt for having him on. Scott Van Pelt's awesome in that way. He doesn't care. He does what he knows is the right thing to do, and the right thing to do is to have Brett McMurphy talk about this because this was his deal.
And before
it's crazy.
Before we let this get away from us, kudos most importantly to Courtney Smith, who was the brunt of all this, literally and figuratively. Too often, I think, victims don't want to go on the record, don't want to press charges, don't want to do whatever, for whatever reason. The attention, break up the family, don't want to be, you know, on their own. For whatever her reasons, kudos to her, because she's the victim in all this. And, you know, for those that sat idly by and did nothing, shame on them. But I think we've made that perfectly clear.
Sure, and again, everybody legally has to be given their time to do things. But if there's abuse happening, people can easily say, and I think somebody at some point, well, this happened in 2015. Why are we just hearing about? Who cares?
Yeah,
if this happened in 1995. And it just comes to light.
You would hope victims don't sit on it for fear of whatever, but it happens.
As somebody, Shane, that is as non-confrontational in, you know, I would do anything, generally speaking, to avoid real confrontation, including alienating myself. I know to some degree that people don't want to shake the tree. People want to solve it. Then you don't want to mess up a family life. You don't want to put other members of your family in that situation. You don't want to do anything that would stir that pot. And you believe in people enough that change can be. And that's a common thread in these. You know, you want to think you can change somebody and make them better and everyone can move on with their lives. Often that doesn't happen. Like, who are any of us to say, well, why didn't we hear this all the time? Well, why didn't they just come out right away and say, why did we wait so long? And there is some malicious intent sometimes with high-profile people getting put in these situations and lies and things to try and blackmail. Sure, all of those things. And that's why it's important for Brett Murphy to say, no, we need to see something, you know, we can't play games here. And, then that's why that report was so damning. But that's not the point. Like, the point isn't the point is somebody was abused and it was covered up. Like, that who cares when it happened? Look at, if you need a great example of that, hey, Penn State, I mean, come on. Like, oh, well, you know, we didn't learn about that till, like, you know, 20 years later. So, really, like, why didn't those kids come out and say something right then? Yeah,
that's not a defense.
We would never say that. We would never say that.
Not an excuse.
Come on.
Not a defense. Never will be. Now, just as an aside, in 2011, Jim Tressel resigned after it was discovered that he knew about some NCAA benefits violations and lied about it. So these are certainly not apples to apples, but if Tressel resigned and saw the writing on the wall then, makes you wonder if Urban Meyer will follow suit. In addition, though, and it's probably not as simple as this, but what Urban Meyer needs to say to keep his job, if there is no refutable evidence, all he has to say that his wife didn't tell him and demand that the powers that be prove that he knew. And that's hard to prove. So we'll see. Like I said, we'll have to wait.
If he's defiant in this, Ohio State's going to have this is going to take a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he digs in his heels.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's just the way it is. And that's why I think leave is important. And I think that was the right step yesterday. It surprised me big time that it happened that quick and that was the answer there. That did surprise me. What shouldn't surprise anybody now is if this takes some time, because it has to.
Yeah.
It absolutely has to. You're paying a guy, I don't even know what his contract is, but tens of millions of dollars. If you don't get it right and he can sue you, I mean, you can't have that either.
Yeah,
or it goes higher than that.
He's in Nick Saban range. He's
right.
$7 million.
This is, I mean, Saban and Urban Meyer are as high profile college football coaches or coaches, period, that there are. We had the discussion yesterday as it was happening. It was just in the middle of our 5 o'clock newscast, and it was like we got to get this in. And it's one of those stories where it's like, God, this is a big deal for everybody. It's not geographically local, but it is local in the sense that everybody has an interest in the story. And then that happened. It was like, so where do we place this? And ultimately, we move it up into newscast and news, which was to me the right thing to do. Just get it up early because everybody, it's a news item and everybody cares about it. So interestingly, too, Shane, speaking of news items, the Star-Telegram in Forward Star-Telegram reporting that Art Briles has been hired by an American football team in Italy.
How about that? Andrew was telling me that during the break.
Timing is everything.
They don't have the internet in Italy or Google. I guess that's about all I have to say about that. But yeah, truth is stranger than fiction sometimes. A lot closer to home and shifting gears before we get to Dr. Rob Ramsire, the new AD at Friends, who we'll talk to about 10 minutes from now. Wichita State basketball made an announcement that they'll play a home-and-home series with VCU beginning this December. In Richmond.
Day we could spend 2 hours on that.
Yeah, we could.
I stinking love it. I think it's awesome. Kentucky recently provides some of the same thing, but you talk about a three-game stretch like we saw in the early decade here between those two teams. Man.
Mm-hmm.
This is I love that home and home. What a great way. We should, by the way,
played in Portland in the NCAA tournament as well, in addition to the bracket buster stuff. Yeah.
We should get the whole non-con out today, I believe. I think that's what the school said yesterday. I think that was the last piece. You know, a lot of the other schools, we'd seen these for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Kansas's was out 2 months ago. But I know that there was this looks like it was the last piece. And it's going to be, boy, you talk about a young team getting a tough schedule this year. I love it.
It's an interesting VCU team, too, because they finished 18-15 last year. And that was the first time since 2006 they didn't go to the postseason. Before that, they had eight straight 25-win seasons. And among those seven NCAA tournaments, like I said, one of them, and the most, wasn't the most recent. In March of 2012, the Shockers played them in Portland, and VCU beat them 62-59. The year before that, in Wichita, VCU beat Wichita State in one of the most memorable games of recent memory. In the Bracket Busters, VCU beat Wichita State 68-67. And then in the return game at Richmond, Shockers won 53-51.
6 points for those three games combined.
Those three games were absolute knockdown dragouts. And
kudos to Brian Holmgren for the nugget. And I didn't know this. That was the last non-conference home loss for the Shockers.
Yep.
They won 45 straight non-conference games at home since then.
Well, they get together again starting in December in Richmond. It'll be December 22nd, so right before Christmas at VCU. And then the Rams will come back to Charles Koch Arena December 21st of 2019. So the Bracket Buster is what brought them together. And so now 6 years basically later, they crank it back up again after Bracket Busters obviously fizzled. But wouldn't we agree that was overall good for Wichita State?
Oh, my God, yes. I was a little concerned that they, you know, there was still a game to schedule there in the non-con. That it was going to have to be a cupcake,
mm-hmm.
just because of the timing. I can't imagine trying to schedule games. It'd be agonizing.
Yeah.
But this is a great, so whether that's, you know, Greg or Darren Boatwright or whoever made that one happen, probably some combination of both of them, I'll give you kudos right now because I think it's a great home and home. I love it. That, you know, there's so much meaning to the history there that, it's impossible to predict how teams will be, I think, a lot of the time. But just based on storylines, because we're selfish in those ways, we want the good story, what a perfect home and home. I mean, that's as good a grouping of games. We just talked about them, and I think it was 21 months, 6 points total for three meaningful games. Two of those teams, the year VCU won in Wichita was their final 4 year. The year Wichita State won in Richmond was their final 4 year. I don't know that either of them make those runs without those wins. So, man, good one. I love it.
Interesting timing, too, because VCU was down a little bit last year compared to the 8 years before that. But like you said, Wichita State's kind of practically a brand new team. So maybe the timing is actually good for Wichita State. Obviously, you hope VCU's RPI is good by the end of the next year. It was in the, I want to say it was in the 130s-ish last year, and that's what a 500 record in the A-10 will do for you. But whatever. I tend to agree with you that it's better than playing a directional school at home. To get a home-and-home with VCU, it just continues to prove that under the right, I don't want to say the right circumstance, because Greg has proven that Wichita State will pretty much play anybody anywhere.
Especially if you give them a home and home.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And they made some concessions with Oklahoma to a certain degree by playing downtown and Oklahoma State as well. But good get, especially, like you said, Jacob, at this late date. All right, we need to give away some tickets, and we need to get to Dr. Rob Ramsire, the new AD at Friends. First, though, Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Benjamin coming to Intrust Bank Arena. Got a pair of tickets for you if you want them, 869-1240, so call me now. And on the other side of that, we'll talk to the new Friends AD, Dr. Rob Ramsire, here on Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.